This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, this is Healing Sunday. And, you know, I love preaching on healing. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I get attacked every once in a while in my body. How many people have bodies out here? Amen. And how many people bodies are natural? All your bodies are natural. And you know that we are subject to this world and to this corrupt world system. Our bodies are subject to that. But I believe that we can walk in divine health. I believe, you know, like airplanes, they you know, we have gravity that keeps us down, but airplanes can fly even though gravity pushes us down. It's called aeronomics. And so they can work in flying in the air. And so I believe that as Christians, we can fly above sickness and disease. Can somebody say amen on that? I believe that we can walk in divine health. You know, some people might think, well, you gotta get a disease to die to go to heaven. You know, that's why there's disease. No, I don't think you have to have a disease to die and go to heaven. I think when you're ready to go, you can just lay down and God can receive you into his kingdom. Do you believe that? And so I love that. That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to get sick to die to go to heaven. You can go to heaven healed, whole, sound, and preserved. Do you believe that today? And I love that. So I'm talking to you about divine healing. And so I'm going to contrast the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. And today's sermon title is Divine Power Truths for Healing. And I'm going to say this. We as Christians, we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war. Have you realized that yet? And the number one weapon that the devil uses against us, it's not sickness. The number one weapon that he uses against us is deception. Can I get a witness in the house today? He's a deceiver. The devil is a deceiver. And in Revelation 12:9, it says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So we see here that the devil's main job description, it says that he deceives the whole world. So people that don't have Jesus, they're walking in deception. But we as Christians that have Jesus, we should be walking in truth. Amen. But unfortunately, some Christians are walking in some deception. And why you come to church is, if you get enough truth, hopefully that truth will flush out any lies that the enemy will try to propagate in our lives. See, the Bible says that the church is the pillar of truth. As long as the preacher is preaching the truth. And now there's some preachers that don't believe the Bible. But you're looking at a preacher that does. I believe the Bible. I believe that from Genesis to Revelation, I even believe the maps. I believe the Bible. Amen. So it's not just theological teaching to make me feel good. The Bible's not about just making you feel good on Sunday morning. It's about receiving truth, and that truth should remove any lies. I'm preaching today. That the enemy will try to sow into our lives, and so as Christians, we can fall to some of the lies that the devil has. One lie that he will tell us is that we are powerless to our circumstances, symptoms, or the doctor's report. And the truth is that you're not powerless; you are powerful in God. That's the truth. You're not powerless to your circumstances. You're not powerless to the, doctor's report. You're not powerless to the disease. No, you're powerful in God, but you got to believe that. Amen. See, I'm going to say this, that God is in heaven, but God is also in you. Amen. So if God is in you, the power of God resides on the inside of you, and that power can work and deliver you from anything that the enemy will try to put on your life. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so the longer you stay in the Word and believe the Word and act on the Word, the greater health you're going to walk in. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? So you're not powerless. You are powerful. You got to believe that, because the devil will always make you think that you don't have what it takes to walk in the blessings of God, and you have what it takes. Say, I have what it takes. I love what it says in Mark 11, 22. So Jesus, 20 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is powerful, because see, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and he cursed a fig tree. It was withered. Peter asked, said to Jesus, look what you did. It was amazing. And then Jesus said that you just have to have faith in God. See, you can overcome whatever circumstance, situation, disease. You overcome it by having faith in God. I believe in our money, it says, in God we trust. So don't put your trust in money, put your trust in God. Amen. And so we have to trust God. So the truth is, you have the power of God that can cause you to overcome whatever the disease or whatever is coming against you. Number two, when we don't see immediate change in our circumstances, we believe that God's not working. Sometimes when you don't see immediate change in your circumstances, you're praying, you're speaking the word, but you don't see immediate change, you think, well, maybe God is putting this on me to teach me something. Maybe God is bringing something, some redeeming truth to my life because I'm dealing with this situation. And I don't believe that. The devil will try to say, well, maybe God, this is a good one. God, sometimes the devil will tell people, well, the devil tries to masquerade as the Lord. And so the devil can speak to you too, and he tries to sound like God. And so the devil will say to you, well, he will try to act like he's God, and he will say, I can trust you with this. I can trust you with this cancer. What does that mean? I can trust you can have this cancer, die of the cancer with a good attitude. No, listen. No. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's God telling you. In other words, what the devil's saying is you can suffer disease and still be walking with God. Yes, you can walk with God and have a good attitude, but you don't have to suffer disease to do that. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. And so if you don't see immediate change, sometimes we feel, well, maybe God's in this for some higher purpose. No, the devil's is coming against you to take you out before your time. And the Bible says, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen. I love that. So the truth is, we got to keep believing that God's power is working in the process of us being set free. Amen. That's a good word today. We got to keep, somebody say, keep believing. See, we may not obtain full healing right at the moment that we pray, but we can be in a process of healing. We can be in a process of moving forward in our health. Do you believe that? There's a process a lot of times in the promises of God. And there's a process. You find that the patriarchs went through a process before they saw the promise. Remember Joseph? He was 17 years old. He was thrown in a pit. He ended up in slavery to Potiphar's house. It took 13 years of going through all this process before he became the prime minister of Egypt. 13 years. Somebody say process. And we're all going through a process. Amen. I'm going to say this to you. You're going through a process. You might be dealing with some sickness. You might be dealing with some ailments. But that's subject to change. Amen. In other words, you're moving towards healing. You're moving towards wholeness. You're moving towards soundness. And don't say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll be healed. You don't need to be healed. You need healing today. Amen. When I get to heaven, everything will be fine. That's what some theologians will tell you. Well, you get to heaven, then you'll be fine. You don't need to be healed in heaven. You're going to be fine in heaven. You need healed today. Amen. Somebody say, I need to be healed today. Amen. And so I love that. And so if in Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So what is the devil trying to do? In the process of us receiving our healing, he's trying to get us weary. He's trying to get us tired. He wants us to, the devil wants us to throw in the towel. Have you ever gotten tired out here? Have you ever gotten weary at times? You're believing God. You're not seeing the promise right. And things are, the devil's working. He's trying to do some things. What the devil's working on is our attitude. And we got to be very careful that we don't get this weary mentality, this weary attitude. In Hebrews 6:12, it says, I'm talking about the process of receiving healing right now. It says here, we do not want you to become lazy, this is the NIV, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what's been promised. Amen. So I love that word. So you just don't get the promises of God just by faith alone. And I know it's quiet in this church today. It's through faith and patience. It's through faith and perseverance. You got to persevere. Somebody say persevere. You got to learn to persevere through the processes of this life until you get the promise. Persevere through the process until you get the promise. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you don't give up, if you don't, throw in the towel, if you keep sticking in it, you will see the promise in your life. You believe that? Amen. Blind Bartimaeus was a man that was a blind man in Mark 10, 46 through 52. They call him Blind Bartimaeus, and you all know the story. He heard about Jesus, and I'm just going to talk about it. He heard about Jesus. And he started crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they, and some of the disciples, some of the people that were around, told him to be quiet. In other words, they were trying to make blind Bartimaeus believe that he wasn't important enough, I'm preaching today, to receive the healing that Jesus had for him. Sometimes the devil will make you think, well, you're not that... God, you don't really do too much in the kingdom, and you're not really that important for God to heal you. Now, God can heal somebody else that's doing greater things in the kingdom, but you're not that important for God to look your way. I'm going to say this, you are important. Amen. I'm going to say this, God's not a respecter of persons, he's a respecter of faith. And you're just as important as anybody else in the kingdom of God. There's no little I's or no big U's in the kingdom of God. So don't get this idea, well, I don't do much in the kingdom. God really doesn't need to heal me because, no. God loves you and you are important. And so blind Bartimaeus, he had to overcome this idea that Jesus maybe didn't want to heal him because he just kept crying out. And sometimes you just got to keep crying out. Sometimes you can't think that you're not important for God to look your way, to blow the winds of grace in your direction. No, you are important, and God wants to do something mighty in your lives. You believe that? And then I love this about blind Bartimaeus. Jesus heard his voice. He heard his cry. And whenever you cry out to God, God hears the cries of the saints. And God does not take a blind eye or a deaf ear to the cries of his saints. And when you're crying out, and he was crying out in faith. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when Jesus said, come here, come my way, Bartimaeus, come this way. And he was in belief because he had a beggar's coat. And he took that beggar's coat and he threw it down. That beggar's coat was what he needed to survive in life because he was blind. It was a blind beggar's coat. And he dropped that beggar's coat. Some of us need to drop the beggar's coat. Amen. Some of us might need to drop I got this problem and I got that problem and that's the reason why I can't serve God. No, you need to drop the beggar's coat. Amen. And then he went to Jesus and Jesus said, what would you like, Bart or Bartimaeus? And Bart said, I want to see. And Jesus said, you have it. You have it. And his eyes were open and he followed Jesus. Glory to God. So he overcame the lie that he wasn't important. You are important to God. Amen. The woman with the demon-possessed daughter, the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman, in Matthew 15, 21, 28, she came to Jesus and she said to Jesus, have mercy on me. My daughter's vexed with an unclean spirit. Her daughter had a demon that was causing a lot of problems in the household. And I'm going to say this, sometimes demons will do that, but you need to take authority over those demons. Amen. We don't take authority over people, but sometimes demons work on people. Can I get a witness in the house today? And demons will try to drive, but that's why you bind those demons up. We command those demons to leave people so they can be free. We don't come against people. We come against demonic powers. And so this was a demonic power that was holding her daughter in checkmate. And so Jesus said, the disciples said, they were resting. And the disciples said, send her away. They were tired. They said, send this Syrophoenician woman away. See, she wasn't a Jew. She was a Canaanite, and she wasn't in the household of faith, and she had to overcome. Now, Jesus actually said, it's not good for me to cast the bread of healing to the dogs, because people that were outside the covenant were considered dogs. They didn't live for God. And she said, even the dogs eat from the crumbs from the master's table. She worshiped Jesus, and she overcame the idea that her background, her past, she overcame that her past wasn't going to hold her back from the future that God had for her family. The lie that the devil will try to say to you, how you lived your life in the past will keep you from moving forward in God in the future. No, your past is washed away. Amen. You can't allow your past to hold you back from what God has for you. You need to let go and let God. Amen. Your past can't hold you back. And she had the wrong background. Maybe you have the wrong background, but the blood of Jesus can bring you into the right background. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And she and her daughter received healing, received deliverance, because she persevered. It didn't happen right at the very moment. She just persevered. And if you persevere, you will see the promise of God in your life. Another story about a man being healed was the paralyzed man. You remember the paralyzed man? He had four friends that that actually Jesus was preaching in his house, and there were so many people, they couldn't get in. That's the way this church is going to be. It's going to be so filled up with people that people are going to have a hard time getting a seat. You better enjoy it now. You better enjoy your cushy seat now, because you might have to get here early. Glory to God. And so that house is so full of people that his friends took him up on the roof, tore the roof off, and dropped the friends and dropped the paralytic down in front of Jesus. Could you imagine Jesus preaching and all this stuff going on? He was interrupted in his preaching. Amen. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Another lie that the devil will try to put on us is that your sins are holding you back from the healing that God has for you. And I'm going to say this: if you ask God's forgiveness and you're doing everything you can to walk in the light, then His blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and there's no condemnation that can keep you back from receiving what God has for you. Amen. Somebody say no condemnation. And so this man, I believe, was dealing with maybe some sin that he did in his life that caused him to be where he was at. So Jesus released him from his sin and said, "Listen, your sin's not holding you back." I'm going to say this to you today. The lie of the devil will tell you your sin that you did in the past is holding you back now. No. The blood of Jesus can wash away that sin. Forgetting those things that are behind, as Paul would say, and moving forward in the things ahead, press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, and then Jesus said, "Pick up your pallet and walk." Amen. Glory to God. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to hear a God word. We need to hear an anointed word. And we need to pick up our pallet in a sense. And we need to keep walking the plans and the purposes of God in our life. His plan is divine health. His plan is healing. His plan is prosperity. Yes, I said it this morning. Amen. Beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That was the Apostle John that wrote that, that pinned that under the anointing. God wants us prospering in every area of our lives. You believe that today? Amen. I believe that today. We don't serve a poor God. Amen. We don't serve an impoverished God. We serve El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Somebody say, "I serve a God that's more than enough." I love that. You guys are excited saying that. Amen. We serve the God that's more than enough. Amen. Lie number three, if change is going to happen, God is going to do that apart from my cooperation. In other words, if God's going to heal me, He's going to do that and I don't have to do anything. No, there's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to believe, number one. Might be something that you might need to do. You might need to exercise your faith. What, Pastor? The Bible says godliness is profitable. Amen? And so you may need to exercise your faith by working with God to make your healing come to pass. What do I mean by that? I mean, as you know, just you may know a little bit about exercise. You may know that exercise is good for you, but do you do it? You may know that, yeah, walking on the treadmill is good. Working out is good for you. You may study all the manuals, but do you do it? That's the question. Are you actually working out? Because you're going to have to get on the treadmill. I talked to my mom. My mom has a treadmill at her house. And I asked her, I said, "Are you?" And she tries to walk on that treadmill every day. And she walks on the treadmill and she prays while she's walking on the treadmill. So she's doing double duty. She's doing the physical and the spiritual. Powerful. Sometimes I'll call her. She says, "No, I didn't do it today." I say, "Mom, you got to get on that treadmill. You got to keep moving." Amen. I'm going to say this. In God, you can't stay still. You have to keep moving. You just can't. There's no standing still in God. See, our Christian walk, it's like us riding a bike uphill. If you stop pedaling, you're going to go backwards. So I'm going to say this morning, keep pedaling. Keep moving forward. So what I'm saying to you today is, if you cooperate with God by working out your salvation, and how do you work it out? You work it out by not allowing the word of God to depart from your mouth. In Joshua 1:8, it says, the book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do what's according to it written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. So what he's saying to Joshua, he's saying to us. What is he saying? He's saying, if we're going to be successful Christians, if we're going to walk in divine health, we're going to have to learn to meditate on the words of God. Somebody said, meditate. And if you meditate, you'll medicate less. I'm going to say that again. If you meditate on the word, what does that mean to meditate? To think on and ponder. To take the word of God and think about it and ponder it. See, listen, the word of God, there's two words for the word of God. There's logos, that's called the written word of God, and there's rhema, that's the spoken word of God. And there's a lot of logos that as Christians, we understand the written word of God, but it has to go from a logos, from just a written word, to a rhema word, a spoken word. A spoken word is that it's yours. That you take that word of God, it's not just in the Bible, it's not just for somebody else, it's not just for the people in the Bible that got healed in the Bible. No, it's for you. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. The word of God is for you. And it has to go from logos to rhema. What am I saying? When you meditate on the word of God, you're taking that word and you're thinking about it until it moves from your head to your heart. And when it moves from your head to your heart, then you got it, Toyota. Amen? You got it. It has to move from your head to your heart. That's the reason why I preach on healing once a month. Because some of you, still, it's in your head. But it has to go from your head to your heart. And when you have heart faith, it's called heart faith, not head faith. And heart faith gets the job done. Amen? And so I love that. So another truth, eating the word daily for healing will produce results. So it's not a waste of time. The devil will say it's a waste of time to read the Bible. It's a waste of time to get into word, to do spiritual things. No, it's not a waste of time to do those things. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. In Proverbs it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Notice that the psalmist is saying, attend to God's words. Incline your ear to his sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. That means you got to fully engage your entire body in the Word of God. What I mean by that, you need to read the Word of God out loud every day of your life. And you're saying, Pastor, that's getting a little legalistic, isn't it? Can't I just read it to myself? You can, but faith doesn't come by reading to yourself. It comes by hearing. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So reading out loud, you're seeing it, you're hearing it, and you're speaking it. Amen. It's a threefold power blessing. So I'm going to encourage you to read the Word of God. Then you read it good enough, you'll be up here preaching it. I'm going to say it again. You start reading the Word of God, pretty soon you're going to get so efficient at it that you're going to be up here and say, I started reading my Bible out loud. Now I read it out loud to you. And I wasn't that good at the very beginning, and I still struggle at times. But God is with me. You keep reading the Word of God. So it says here, do not let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. The Word of God is medicine to your body. You got to believe that. The Word of God is not just medicine to your soul. A lot of people say, the Word of God is good for your soul. It is good for your mind. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect. But it's good for your body. Do you believe that today? It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. What is he saying? See, if you get the Word of God in you long enough, and you get the Scriptures of healing, you're not going to be talking sickness. You're not going to be talking about what you're going through. You're going to be talking the Word of God. You're going to be talking to, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. You're not going to be saying, well, that problem that I got. No, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. You don't talk problems, you talk promises. As faith people, we talk promises, we don't talk problems. Now, I'm not saying to deny the problem. I'm saying to overcome the problem with the promise. Override the problem with the promise. How do you do that? By speaking, not speaking perverse words. Perverse words is agreeing with the disease or the doctor. I'm agreeing with it. I know one person that got healed, they never agreed with the doctor's report. Are you hearing what I say today? Just because a doctor gives you a report, you don't have to agree with, you don't have to say yes and amen to that report. Amen? You could say, I don't receive that report. Or I'm going to receive the better report. What's the better report? The Word of God. Amen. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. There's a song that was written by Ron Canole. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. Amen. Do you believe that? And his report says, I am filled. His report is victory. Amen. His report is victory for you and me. Glory to God. I thought I'd quote some of that song. Amen. So, amen. So you got to believe that the Word of God can work in your life. Say the Word of God is working. We need to release our faith by speaking words that line up with God's words, always in the present tense. What do I mean by that? You always make the Word of God in the, not that I'm going to be healed, that I'm healed today. Thank you, Lord, that you're healing my body today. Not, well, I'm going to get my healing someday. No, you're getting your healing today. The Bible says that you have to believe that you have received and you receive it. Amen. I like what it says in Isaiah. It says you got to walk. It says, how can two? Well, it says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? You know, in Isaiah 53 is one of the most powerful scriptures for healing in the Bible. And we should have this memorized. It says, surely Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. I love the Amplified. He bore our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, carried our sorrows and pains and punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement need to obtain peace and well-being fell upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That's powerful. That's powerful. I'm going to say this. I'm going to encourage you, get into Isaiah 53. If you're dealing with any kind of problems in health, read it every day. Apply it to your life, because you're not going to get healed. You are already healed because the Word of God is working to heal your body today. You believe that today? Amen. And it says in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And so this is Matthew quoting Isaiah from Isaiah 53. Because what Jesus was doing, he was healing the sick. He was delivering and set people free. And he was inspired to write this. And then Peter says, him himself, in 1 Peter 2:24, him himself bore our sins on his own body and tree, that we being have died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And if you were, you are. If you were healed, you are healed. See, Abraham had to believe God. regardless of what it looked like in his life. You know, it took Abraham 25 years to receive the promise Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. But hopefully, because you have the word, you're not going to have to wait 25 years. Hopefully, you're going to get it a lot sooner than that, because we understand how the word of God works. And in Romans, it talks about, it's in Romans 4, 16 through 22, it talks about this. It says, there is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. I love that. It is a faith that it might be according to grace. Say, by faith, through grace. It's by faith, through grace, we receive the promises. So our faith activates God's grace. Say, my faith activates God's grace. And it says, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Israel, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. So God's principle of faith is calling those things that be not as though they were. So what am I saying to you this morning? You need to start calling some things. You need to start calling your body healed. You need to start calling your bank account filled. You need to start calling some things. God called Abraham. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And he said, you're a father of many nations, before he had the promised child, Isaac. And you're going to have to call your body healed before you see it healed. Amen. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to call those things that be not as though they were. And I love this. It says that I have made him a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which exist as though they did not, who contrary to hope, in hope, believe that it became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. So we see here three keys that Abraham walked in to receive the promised child, Isaac. And you can take these three keys yourself. And I'm closing down with these three keys. Is that all right? Can I close down with these three keys? These three keys, or maybe should I preach it next Sunday? No, I won't. I'll preach it today. These three keys, Abraham considered not the symptoms or the circumstances. In other words, he didn't focus on them. He focused on the truth of God's word. If you're going to get healing in your body, you can't focus on the pain. You can't focus on the disease. You got to focus on the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Some people say, you know, I have a Job's ministry. Job was sick. He was attacked with sickness by the devil, not by God. And Job got healed. Amen. Don't focus so much on Job's boy. He had boils. Don't focus so much on Job's boils. Focus on Jesus' stripes. So what am I saying? Don't focus so much on your sickness. Focus on what God has done for you. Focus on that. It's our focus. We have to focus on the unseen things to bring them into the seen reality in our lives. Amen. The number two thing we got to do is not waver in unbelief. Do not doubt or get discouraged in the process of you receiving healing. Amen. So this means is you can't get fearful. What the devil will try to do is he will try to paint a picture of a casket in front of you that you're not going to make it. But you know what? You got to remove that picture of the casket. You got to focus on the beach. You got to focus on the good life, the cruise. You got to focus on that you're going the church service that you're going to be worshiping God in. You got to focus on the good things. Yes, amen. Don't focus on the negative things. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Fear focuses on the wrong things. Faith focuses on the right things. And I'm going to focus on the promise of God. In 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. I love that. And number three, if you're going to continue to walk in the healing power of God, you got to continue. Yeah, that's right. I said it this morning. You have to continue to give God glory, no matter what it looks like. You got to continue to give God praise. You got to praise your way out of the problems of this life. I believe there's power in praise. I believe there's power in worship. I believe there's power. I was listening to this one testimony of this lady that was a missionary, and she got really sick as a missionary. She got some kind of disease. I can't remember what kind of, but it was fatal, and she wasn't going to make it. It looked like she was going to die. And she was praying, God, heal me, heal me. And she was standing on scriptures. And then she saw a vision. And the vision was her prayers. It was two scales. And her prayers was heavy, and her praise was light. And the angel said to her, when your praise equals out your prayers, you receive your healing.
Amen.
When your praise equals out your prayers, you receive your breakthrough. When your praise equals, when you start praising as much as you're praying, you're going to see the blessing. Are you praising God for your healing? Are you thanking God that He's doing? Praise, the Bible says, steals the avenger. What does that mean? It shuts down the devil in his tracks. You're called to praise God. We need to learn to praise God more. When Brother Hagin was on his bed of affliction, and I'm closing here, he was 16 months bedfast. He had an incurable blood disease. He had a heart problem. He was believing God. He was standing on Mark 11, 22-24, speaking to the mountain. He was speaking to his body. Body, you are healed. Heart, you're healed. He was speaking. And finally, he was on the bed, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And He said, healed people are not normally in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if you really believe you're healed, you're going to get up. And so Brother Hagin was there as a 17-year-old boy. He was partially paralyzed. He threw his legs over the bed, and he decided to press in and press through. And he got up out of the bed. And when he did that, he never heard this before. He was able to stand on his own. And he never done this before. He started saying, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah. And he started repeating that mantra, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. And when he did that, the power of God hit him. And the anointing of God hit him from the top of his head. And it was like honey that ran over his head, over his entire body, as he was saying, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Some of you need to start praising more and complaining less. Some of you need to start praising God a little bit more and complaining a little. Well, Pastor, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you like it is. Well, I'm going to tell you what it needs to be. And the Word of God will tell you what it needs to be. Don't say what it is. Oh, I'm just telling it like it is. No, you need to say it what you want it to be. Your mouth, your words are a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you have today is what you spoke yesterday. And I'm going to speak healing. I'm going to speak wholeness. I'm going to speak soundness. I'm going to speak deliverance. That's what I'm going to live in. That's the world I'm going to live in. I'm going to live in a world of health, healing, wholeness, soundness, preservation, prosperity, and eternal life. I'm going to walk out this abundant life. Now, there might be 1,000 may fall at my side. There might be 10,000 at my left. But no plague shall come near my dwelling.
Amen.
Amen. Are you hearing? That's the world I'm going to live in. I'm not going to live in the world of hurts.
Yes. Amen.
Have you ever heard that term? I'm in the world of hurts. Have you ever heard that term? That's a colloquial expression, a southern colloquial expression. I'm in the world of hurts. No, you're in a world of healing. That's what you need to start speaking. You're not in a world of hurts. You're in a world of healing, glory to God.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying today? As you line up your words with God's words and you start speaking the promises, believe the promises, don't give up. Keep it, stay in it until you see the fullness of the blessing of God in your life. You will see it. You will have it. You believe it?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. Father, we're not focusing on the problem. We're focusing on your promise. We're believing, Father God, that your healing power is working in our lives to cause us to walk in healing and wholeness and soundness and preservation. And I thank you, Father God, for blessing every person this morning. Perhaps you are here in the audience or watching online and you need salvation in your life. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. And so God is calling you today. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. And that is the greatest miracle that you can receive. A greater miracle than healing is salvation. And so I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart, if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.